Hi, guys, and welcome to another day in the clown world. I'm your host, Linda.
And I'm your host, Bella. And today we have a guest in the studio with us, our good friend, Natalie Denise, who's joining us.
Hi, guys.
And is going to be providing some commentary on just how did the clown world peak in the last week. Per usual, we are 100% self-funded, no lizard people, no Illuminati. So please show us some support by liking and subscribing to our channel. So this is our second time going live, and we still have so much to work out. We have no idea what we're doing. We're still trying to get everything set up last minute.
Yeah.
So if you guys have any issues hearing us or seeing the podcast, please let us know in the comments. And yeah, I guess, Linda.
Give us 1 second. I'm posting it again on my story because, once again, we're getting used to doing this whole live situation. And honestly, like, I'm a little bit lost.
Don't judge us.
Don't judge us. I want to open up also our Angel. Can you help me out here with the video? Like, where is it? Okay, never mind. I see it. Yeah. So I just want to make sure that.
You got to mute it. All right. Yeah. We almost got it, guys.
Okay, here we go. All right, there's 14 people. Got it. Okay. All right, guys, I got it. Sorry about that. Again, it's just a little bit confusing because last time I posted the link and then what ended up happening was that it was the link for the premiere and then people weren't actually like, what's it called? Like being able to see us. So now we're live and we want to start off with what's actually happening right now with the culture wars, with Kanye West, with Candace Owens, the whole White Lives Matter. I actually just watched a clip right before walking into the studio of the Tucker Carlson interview with Kanye West, where he says that they threatened him during the Trump administration, when he was going to come out as a Trump supporter. They threaten him. The Calabasas Mafia is calling his ex-wife and her family, Kris Jenner, threaten him, his handlers as well.
And I think that part is worth noting, where he actually refers to them as his handlers.
Yes. Yes. So he said, my friends, a.k.a. my handlers, right, told me that if I wore a MAGA hat and I came out in support for Trump, I would be killed. And now I guess the same thing is happening with the White Lives Matter shirt. They're saying that whoever wears the White Lives Matter shirt is going to get beat up. So, again, I've said this many times on the podcast. Sure, we have freedom. This is a great country. I don't deny it. Greatest country in the world. Yes, America. But we cannot be blind patriots. We cannot continue to think that our greatest enemy is China and Russia and North Korea and everybody else in the world except Washington, D.C. When you have one of the greatest, or even if you don't like Kanye West, right? You don't like his music, you don't like his style, you don't like his clothes, who cares? At the end of the day, he's a world artist that wants to come out and support for the president at the time, and he's being threatened with death.
Yeah, and not just any artist. I mean, Kanye West is, I don't think there's any argument that Kanye West is probably the single most influential artist of our time. He creates trends. He is a trend. So to have a force like Kanye come out and speak to what it is that so many of us face, right? I remember when I first realized that I was a Republican, right? When I first have that realization, I thought, well, if I start talking about this, people are going to know that, Right. Well, Bella's not a Nazi, Bella's not a racist, Bella's just a person that woke up to the fact that she's a conservative. And it was, the opposition that you receive starts immediately. Right. I lost friends that I had been friends with for a very long time that didn't want to be friends with me put on that red hat. And it's a persecution that realistically so many of us as conservatives have had to face in one degree or another. So to have him come out and speak about that, I think it's really just giving a voice to what so many of us have experienced.
And it's another thing. Like, for example, no one is saying that to a celebrity that supports Biden or supported Obama. Like, no one's going to come out and say, you're going to die or you're going to get murdered if you wear a write-in with Biden hat or t-shirt. There's this double standard in our culture, in our communities, in the U.S., period, that if you don't support the right thing, you're going to get shamed, you're going to get vilified, and more than likely, you may even get killed, right? As we've seen with Trump supporters.
Well, see, and the thing also to take into aspect is a lot of the, I don't even think it's conservative versus liberal anymore. It's like common sense now.
Right.
But a lot of people are speaking out like, did everybody forget that this whole BLM thing was a scam? Like, they literally stole money from people, from supporters who thought that they had the right idea. And, you know, people all of a sudden forgot about that, right?
I it's not that they forgot. I think that they know. But now if you listen to, like, P. Diddy last night came out against Kanye too, or like not against him, but I guess talking about the White Lives Matter shirt. And he's like, oh, I support my boy. He's a free thinker, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, Black lives still matter. It's about the messaging. So like now it's not about the money or the grift or the fact that they raised $80 million and none of that went to a single Black community, right? Like you could have done, you could do so much with $80 million. You could go to Baltimore, you could go to Detroit, all these predominantly Black cities and do something for those communities,
right?
Because all we hear, especially from the Black community, which 80% of them vote Democrat, is how forgotten they are. Oh, what is the white man going to do for me? What are Republicans going to do for me? What is this? Right? Because they're so dependent. Let's be honest. The Black community is very dependent on the government. They're the first ones to talk about the white man is keeping us down, white supremacy, this country was built in the backs of slaves, blah, 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 blah. Nevertheless, they still always vote for the party that expands the government, and they still want help from the government. They don't want to provide any solutions from the private sector or their own communities. It's always, what are they going to do for me, or what they didn't do for me, or what they could do for me.
So one of the people at this event was Bob Marley's granddaughter, which I think you told me today was also
Lauryn Hill's daughter.
So Sela, a model who was at this event and was also wearing the Kanye merch, White Lives Matter, had this to say. The past 24 hours has allowed me to realize that most of y'all are stuck in a hive mentality. You do what the group tells you to do and think.
Yeah.
What the group tells you to think, witnessing some break free from the agenda sends you all into such a panic that you will do whatever it takes to force them back into that box that you feel they should exist in. All morale and empathy is eliminated due to the fact that you feel justified by your emotions. The victim becomes the victimizer. You cannot bully me, manipulate me, or coax me into silence, nor will you bully me into being who you want me to be. I don't care how many tweets you make, DMs you send, or articles you write. Throughout all of the chaos, I have yet to speak on my experience. If you know me, you know that nothing I do is without deep thought and intention. Wait till you hear what I have to say.
Damn, girl.
Right? Like, talk about an own. Talk about an own, letting them know, don't fit me into that box. And it's so sad because it's almost like they project their own racism onto their own people. Like, there's nobody more oppressed than,
but
like,
let's talk about the empowerment though. Like, how much like gratification do we get that we see more people being empowered to speak out and to speak their own thoughts, that it's not being driven no more. They're not put in the box so much anymore. People are starting to speak out and they're like, yo, like what are you going to do? Like,
I think it's one of those things. If you look at 2020, right, when all of the George Floyd riots were going on and everybody else was existing in the reality of COVID and what was happening, the Black community was very much attacked with a narrative. The BLM is a narrative. It's propaganda. And, you know, I feel like it doesn't have to be said, but I will say it. Black lives, of course, do matter.
Of course.
Black lives do matter, and we should be fighting for justice in every single circumstance. But the PSYOP that was BLM during an election year, which, by the way, has anybody heard from them in the last two years since the election?
I haven't.
What happened was a direct attack on the Black community as far as narrative goes. Right. And around that time, there were so many other things falling apart that while other people were waking up, the Black community and the pain that comes with it was being used as an effort to distract them from everything else that was going on and focus on this. And I think what's happened over the last 2 years is that now the reality has settled in. There's no more BLM riots in the street because they don't care. I'm sure that they'll be back come 2024. They don't care. So now the reality is that these Black men and women are now starting to kind of see like, wait a minute. I'm spending twice as much to fill up my gas tank. When I go to the store to buy my food, it's way expensive. Like there was a lot of things about my day-to-day life under the Trump administration that were a lot better. And it kind of allows them to take away the feeling of like the victimization and all these other things when you realize like, holy shit, I'm a much bigger victim right now under a Joe Biden presidency as an American than I ever was under this intended, you know, supposed oppression that existed during 2020.
If you go to the urban pages, if you go to Baller Alert, if you go to Hollywood Unlock, all those accounts that are followed by predominantly, you know, African Americans, they don't see it. Like they're still complaining about Trump. They're still backing Biden, even if they criticize him. They have this sheep-like mentality, which is why Candace Owens goes on to her rant about what is it that she calls it, the plantation. I was listening to the Candace Owens show today, and she's going off on the plantation because it's true. I've had Black conservatives tell me that they don't like Candace Owens because the way she speaks, the way she refers to Black Americans as being part of the plantation. And this is inflammatory because the way that I think about the plantations where my grandparents were picking cotton for the white man, blah, 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 many years ago. And it's like, but bro, it's true. Yeah. It's true. You guys have a herd-like mentality. This happens with Kanye West and every single celebrity that doesn't want to get canceled, just like Diddy and other ones. They come out and say, yeah, I support my boy. However, the message still stands. Black lives still matter. We're still oppressed. White people don't care about us. All they see about us is death and misery and pain. So it's like, you guys do have that mentality. Candace Owens calls you out. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a huge Candace Owens fan either. And it's not a negative thing. She's just not, doesn't appeal to me. Does that make sense?
It's I think that it's because like, you're pretty controversial as far as your thought process goes. And she's very cookie cutter establishment as far as her opinions go. She's not going to, you know, she's establishment. So she's got to be careful on how it is that she threads that line. So I don't think it's necessarily content that resonates with us when you feel a lot more comfortable openly speaking your mind on things that maybe Candace would
never. Right. Well, nevertheless, I still appreciate her and I do like her, what she has to say. So I'll listen to her from time to time. But I was listening specifically to the White Lives Matter podcast that she did this week from Paris. When the whole Paris Fashion Week, White Lives Matter thing went down and, you know, she went on a rant about abortion. 50% of Black kids are aborted or killed in the womb. She went over Black on Black crime. She went over all these stats that are completely undeniable and that you don't hear people like Puff Daddy talk about it or the Kardashians talk about it. It's only her really driving that force. And one of the things that she did say in the podcast, which I agree with, is she said, I'm not here to... She didn't say the word please, but she said something like, I'm here to destroy this culture. Like, yeah, you guys hate me. You think I'm controversial. You think that I'm better than you guys or whatever. But I do want to destroy this culture. You know, today, another video came out. There's been actually two videos by our fellow African American brothers and sisters. It was one about 2 weeks ago of a Black woman twerking at a Planned Parenthood center that you guys saw
it. Yeah, yeah. A music video.
A whole music video, correct. And now, this week, another video came out of if you don't vote, you don't fuck. But they didn't say the word fuck. They said bluck or cluck or something. Yeah. So it's like, try to encourage people to vote, obviously, for Democrats. And it was another yet corny, destructive, culturally broken video that... It just goes to show you that they think that's a representation of Black America. And it's sad, but they don't want to change the culture. They don't. And the small percentage that do want to change the culture, like Kanye West, like Candace Owens, are seen as the villains, are seen as the vile, hateful people that are that just want to be white supremacists. That, and it's actually what they say.
Can we actually talk about what Khloe Kardashian posted as a comment under all of this controversy, where she goes, "Yay, I love you. I don't want to do this on social media, but you keep bringing it here. You're the father of my nieces, nephews, and I'm trying to be respectful, but please stop tearing Kimberly down and using our family when you want to deflect. Again, the birthday narrative. Enough already. We all know the truth, in my opinion. Everyone's tired of it. You know exactly where your children are. At times, all times, and you want separate birthdays. I've seen all the texts to prove it. And when you changed your mind and wanted to attend, you came. Like you have pointed out to yourself, she is the one taking care of your kids 80% of the time. Please leave her and the family out of it so that the kids can be raised peacefully. I come from a place of love and happy to continue this conversation privately. But the thing is, Kanye has been very outspoken about wanting to be a father and included in the family. It's very sad that the family dynamic has to play out in front of everybody and the public. But Kanye has been very open about wanting to be included in the family. And sadly, you know, I feel like this is a two-way street with that family, where they're not allowing him to, you know, not become one of those statistics. And he's fighting to be included. And I think it's really sad, because he's not only trying to destroy the narrative of, you know, the mainstream with the BLM and all these things, but he also does really do want to be included in the family.
You know, this is a conversation that me and Linda have had before, where the conservative movement does something really crazy when it comes to Kanye West and the Kardashians, right?
Right.
We believe in keeping the family together, and we want kids to grow up with their families.
Right.
But somehow conservatives become delusional when it's Kim Kardashian on the other side of it.
Right.
And their hate for her is fueled so much that they'd rather see Kanye West's kids. They're happy to see their marriage fall apart.
Right.
They'd rather see their kid raised without a mother or without a father, as long as it means that Kanye, who they do like, is not with Kim Kardashian, who they don't like. And I feel like this is so twisted.
It is.
As far as like, how can we as conservatives say that we truly want conservative values? We want families to work things out. We want families to remain together, while at the same time cheering Kanye on when he's tearing apart Kim? Or those are not, to me, they're having their personal problems. I get that. But I do find it interesting that the conservative narrative of really putting family values before everything somehow goes out the window.
Out the window.
When it comes down to somebody that they don't personally respect for how it is that they live their life.
Right. 100%.
But it's like that. I've talked about it. I believe this, and this is why I barely comment on celebrities on my Instagram. I believe that conservatives have an unnecessary hate against all celebrities. I truly believe that. And I understand the Kardashians are fake or whatever. Like, you don't have to consume their products. You don't have to watch their media. You don't have to watch the show. You don't have to buy Kylie cosmetics. You don't have to buy Skims. But at the end of the day, you're still talking about Kim's sex tape from over 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And the woman now is funding, or she's part of a capital group
dollar conglomerate. She's an attorney.
Like, how long are you going to hold this sex tape over her head? Like, do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to defend Kim. I find her very cringe, especially when it comes to her politics. I have a big problem with her anti-Second Amendment platform. I have a big problem even with her criminal justice reform BS that she stays trying to get, like, terrible people out of jail. Like, I'll sit here and give criticism of her, but there's a necessary hate of Hollywood, because to them, it's like everybody's a pedophile. Everyone's drinking blood.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing human sacrifices.
Yep.
You don't have this proof. You simply don't. You know what I mean? Like, you just simply do not. And so when it came to the Kanye situation, it's like, I may not agree or like the Kardashians that much.
Right.
But if you are going to preach about family values and staying, you know, keeping the children together, and it's better for kids to be raised with a mom and a dad, then what are you doing?
Right.
Why do you want him to get a divorce?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, shouldn't you be instead preaching about maybe Kanye converting Kim into a better person?
Right.
Into a better
wifey.
Right.
You know, like, that's what we should want. And vindication for people too, right? Like, who's to say that Kim can't be saved? Yeah. Like, but right. I really feel, and you know what's another thing? I think that it's one of the things that's most frustrating. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not a huge Kim fan. That's right. not the case, but I still see the argument of tearing somebody down for things that, are you guys really angry at Kim or are you upset at the society that has elevated somebody like Kim?
Right.
Because that's not Kim's problem. Kim isn't the problem in
it's
society.
It's just like OnlyFans.
The society that uplifts that right. kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. And Kim is no different than the rest of the Instagram models mm-hmm. and the rest of the OnlyFans. We live in a society that glorifies sex, not just any sex, but right. casual sex. You know, there's how many guys don't we see on the internet that you know, they follow all these trad West right. pages and trad wifeys and all these things. And then you see them in the likes of hookers on Instagram. It's like, at what point do people start, like, Kim Kardashian is not the problem. It's the society that That's elevates right. people like Kim. And getting rid of Kim Kardashian isn't going to change that. The mm-hmm. only way to change that society is by yourself changing and being a testimony of how it is that you think people should show up in this world right. and encouraging people to do that through inspiration of your own testimony.
And to be honest mm-hmm. with you, we've discussed this, and I don't want to make this about Kim, but she is the original influencer. You mm-hmm. know, she yeah. paved the way for influencers to be who they are. It doesn't matter what type of influencer. It could be a Christian influencer. It could be an OnlyFans model. But at the end of the day, you don't, you know, this whole mentality is like, well, what's your talent? What's your talent? It's freaking business. It's marketing. Dirty. It's marketing. Do you guys realize that any brand, it doesn't matter if it's Apple or this water bottle or this phone or this, there's a marketing department, and those people are talented. Those people that are putting a brand in front of millions are coming up with these marketing campaigns to be able to sell more product are talented. Singing, dancing, yeah. performing is not the only talent that people have. There's something else that, you know, it really bothers me with the right wing, the truther accounts. Some people are like, oh, I'm not right or left. I'm just a truther, whatever it may be. It's the lack of evidence for claims.
Yes. Thank you.
The lack of evidence for
your
claims.
Specialty.
Oh, that's my specialty.
The lack of evidence for claims pisses me the F off. Because if you don't have a solid foundation, if you don't, it's just, oh, suspicion right. or it's this and that. Like someone said here in the comment, Kris Jenner wanted to judge multiple sexual tapes of her daughter. It shows the mindset to do anything to be famous. We don't know that. Like,
the second tape does exist.
The second tape does exist, but is it a continuation of the first tape? Is it tapes that you did together? Like, I don't even follow this story that much. Mm. But what I do know is that this alleged that, you know, Ray J said this and that. Like, it's not
concrete enough.
Concrete,
I see
enough
what
evidence.
You mean. So there's,
you see
I
what
see
I mean?
What you mean? Well, it still goes back. And I think that your last documentary yeah. is a perfect example of this. Before right. we go on, I do just want to give a shout out
yeah.
to Shuda305, who made our donation and said, I appreciate you ladies doing God's work. Thank you, Shuda. I see you on our chat all the time. We appreciate the support and the encouragement. So Natalie there is a very famous claim that has gone around
yes.
that when Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington passed, that they had been working on a human trafficking documentary.
Who?
And that Chris Cornell
and
Chester Bennington. And that they had been working on this human trafficking documentary and that's the reason why they were suicided. Natalie is an investigative journalist and she is a fan of both Chester Bennington and Chris Cornell. So she right. started her investigation trying to prove that this was in fact true, because as a human trafficking expert, she wanted to be able to prove this and provide right. and kind of pick up where it was that we left off. And what did you find?
So let me just start off by saying that I was one of those truthers, like legit. Truthfully, I was one of those truthers. I would just repost anything and everything yeah. back in 2020, right. 2021. But you know what? It was sensational. We really didn't have a grounding. Everything was just so new, and I get it, right? So I can empathize with people who see something and they're like, oh my gosh, it's sensational. But it comes a time where you kind of mature and you're kind of like, all right, I'm curious. Let me go look into this, because that did circulate. And it circulated based off of one tweet, everybody. It circulated based on an Open Secrets tweet that said, you know, basically Chris Cornell was funding this documentary and Chester Bennington was going to provide music for silent children. And everybody just believed it. Yeah. So as I was doing research for the documentary, my original plan was to do one documentary with Chester Bennington, Chris Cornell, exposing this is what they were doing and they were going to go into the. As I did research and I went through documentation and I went through the timelines, I'm like, there's really nothing more than that tweet. I asked Gabe Hoffman for the documentation. Can you give me financial backing? Can you give me any sort of itinerary of, you know, the project or the production or anything? Didn't want to speak. Didn't want to give me no documentation. So I was like, okay, can't go that route. Why do we just believe that? And everybody is so strung up on that one tweet. I just, you know, well, why would they give you the documentation? Well, why not? If you're going to put it out there, why would you not back it?
So, I mean, and there's always things that you can find through open source that would have proven you were unable to find any of it.
100% conversations, articles, preludes to a project, something, right? And you could, here's the thing. When you are looking up information, you don't necessarily need concrete information right in front of you, but you can corroborate. There's another method to it. You can corroborate it, but that involves connecting the dots. If there's nothing to connect the dots with, then you really don't have anything.
Dude, but this happens with every single movement around the world. Like, forget the celebrity gossip for a second. Right. It's happening with the Iran situation right now, which I don't even want to get into because I've had Iranians down my DM who are looking for compassion tell me that I should be raped and killed because I don't support their fucking CIA backed movement. These are people that come to our platforms to, oh, can you post about Cuba, Colombia, and this one and that one? And it's like, if you're like, okay, I'm gonna let me look into this subject and find what I find.
Right.
And if I find something that is not congruent with what they want me to post and aligns exactly with take down the Iranian regime, women are dying in the streets, then it's like, F you, die, I hope you get raped. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
It escalates.
Like, it really escalates. Like, it's so disgusting. It's so terrible.
Have you gotten any backlash for exposing the fact that it was, that there's really no proof to back up that
story? Of course. There's literally zero. Listen, I am not a fan of the morality police. I'm not a fan of what is it called? The having a theocracy. It's not why I moved here, right? If I wanted that, I'm sure I could have found it in another country. I'm not offended of any of this. I'm not trying to defend the morality police or Iran or whoever. I don't have any ties to these people. However, I am a real truther. I am a woman of, I need to see evidence to your claims, right? For anything at all. So, and there's zero, I'm sorry, there's literally zero proof that that woman that collapsed, that they have all these protests going for and the hashtag and the BLM kind of movement, that she died because she was beat up with the Iranian morality police. Zero. There's one single video. And that video, it shows the woman walking into a room or around a room. She's not in handcuffs. No one's touching her. She's speaking to other women and she collapses on her own. And you know what? Like, has literally blown my mind, but I've been too tired and too just like annoyed with everybody to even bring it up. The fact that conservatives have spent the last year pointing out all the people that have died suddenly or sudden deaths.
Right.
This football player, this soccer player, a 12-year-old, all of a sudden, a 22 healthy young girl collapses. No one touches her. There's no evidence of foul play. And there's no question whether it was a vaccine. None.
Yeah.
Zero. Yeah. Why? Because there's already a built reputation that the Iranian police have done this before, or the Iranians are bad, and Islam and Muslims and this and that. And so now we just have to believe that whatever comes out of this country, it's true. And if it's not true, then I hope you get raped.
Well, and just to touch on that, I see a lot of bots on Instagram delivering this in comments and these feeds, you know, you need to, pray, speak out about it and all that. But, you know, bringing it back to the people, you know, who believe these theories, right? They do get very attached and latched onto them. And you can literally prove, look, guys, I'm not necessarily, and here's the thing, like, I'm not Natalie the debunker, but I'm like, look, I can't proof. Literally debunk, right? So I'll say, look, I'm just going to park this for the side and I'm not going to touch it because I think we need to look a different direction, which is what I did with the Chris Cornell documentary. I'm like, look, you guys, there's so much in front of us that this derailed us to look the other way. And that's the same thing with a lot of other theories which is kind of like how I shifted my content a little bit. Cause I'm like, okay, the red shoes, for instance.
Right.
Oh, the red shoes was like the biggest thing. And I
couldn't believe that you said that this guy wasn't even wearing red
shoes. Bill Maher wasn't even wearing red shoes. He was wearing brown shoes, and it was the lighting. I literally have footage of it. Because
you know what the problem is? And it's actually not comical. As a trooper with a large following, it's actually so cringe, and it makes me so scared that all it takes is one person that hasn't done their information the right way to put together one meme. Yeah. One meme that then gets shared across all of the Truefer networks. And before you know it, you start getting the comments in the bottom. Well, I heard that Bill Maher wore red shoes. And then it just turns into this huge fucking spinning
And this
ball.
Is why they censor us.
We're now 3 years. Later, we're still talking about this one meme that some random nobody basement dweller made one day without checking their facts. And that's supposed to be ultimate truth. I cannot begin. Too many people woke up and replaced the mainstream media with the internet, with random accounts on the internet. You should not believe anything.
Right.
Nothing. Not what I post, not what Natalie posts.
You really
There should be a natural. I mean, I try very hard to always post facts. And the times when I've been wrong, I always go back and correct myself. But you shouldn't trust me because you don't know who's who and who are the right people to go for your sources. The only people that you should be trusting with your information is yourself. Meaning, when you see a claim online, it doesn't matter what it is, you should be doing extensive research to collaborate the story or defute it, one of the two. But in too many people, what do they say? Well, I've been too busy. I see them under the comments all the time posts that I'm like, there's no way that people are believing this. And then you see the comments and it's like, oh man, this person's a bad guy. I don't know. I've been so busy making dinner for my kids. I had no idea. Or can you guys just give me a list of who the bad guys and the good guys
and
are?
They believe it. And I believe it.
It's a movement of thinking for yourself.
It is. It really is. Not just thinking for yourself, but researching for yourself. Have two brain cells, rub it together and critically think on things, right? This is how we ended up where we are. And we talk about it all the time. People detach from the mainstream media, and then now they depend on influencers to feed them and spoon feed them information. So if there's an influencer out there that is like, oh, this person's bad. Guess what? Sick them. Like, nobody thinks twice.
Real quick, I just want to give a shout out to American Advocate Latino. Thank you so much for your contribution. He says he heard me on Andy Frisella, who's absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I want to go back to what we were just talking about, the Iranian people, because we actually did extensive research every single time. Let me rewind. Sorry. Ever since the Trump election, the BLM riots, the George Floyd stuff,
COVID,
everything that we have seen in the last 2 years, especially since COVID and before that, since the Trump election, I have seen so many psychological operations that it's almost like an instinct that I see something on TV. It doesn't matter if it comes from the worst literal dictatorship in the world. Or the freest country, like supposedly, allegedly America. To me, everything is almost a psyop. And the craziest part is that when we look into it, it is always a psyop. Even the Cuba protests. So there's truth to everything. What is the truth? Cuba's a communist country.
The people are oppressed.
The people are oppressed. The people are suffering. The houses are falling. They don't have anything to eat. Castro's a piece of shit. Díaz-Canel is a piece of shit. All of these things are true, right? Cuba should be free. They should be able to have free and fair elections and a democracy. But it is also true that the movement that has started in Cuba, not here, not the ones in Miami. We're not talking about our people. Mm-hmm. The movement that has started in Cuba that you're now seeing on Vice News and you're now seeing on Univision and you're now seeing in all these places that typically don't like to tell the truth has been driven also by certain left-wing organizations that do want change in their island.
Organizations.
Soros.
We found open society in Cuba years leading up to, and what do they do it? Infiltrate the arts programs. How did the Cuba protest start? Through art programs. It always starts off that way. And I, you know what? I have to disagree with you on one thing. You said that it was the people over there and not the people over here. Bullshit, because the people over here are part of the PSYOP. Okay,
but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, for example, our friends that genuinely believe in freedom that go to La Carreta or to go protest. Like, it's not those people. Like, those people are just thinking that they're supporting.
Right, which is the same. But it's also the same thing that's going on in Cuba. A lot of the people that are out in the street protesting are actually actual protesters as well. Right, that's all you need is the handful of agent provocateurs, and all of a sudden it changes in a direct in the direction that they want to drive it, which is about controlling the narrative. You know, back to the Iran situation.
Mossad.
Oh, her name's Mossad.
So let me explain something. People that my DM were saying, oh, just because you found a picture of this activist does not mean that, you know, they're not suffering. Like, this movement of the hijab started 6 years ago. Correct. This movement started by this activist six years ago.
An activist that we have quite literal proof from that, government websites that they have been paid by the CIA. So what is a PSYOP? And you know what the most frustrating part of the entire thing? They won't question BLM. They won't question Iran. They won't question Cuba. They won't question you, but they'll question you, and they'll question you, and they'll question me, and you'll say, I'm the PSYOP. Right. You call me a PSYOP. Right. I'm a fucking nobody loser from the hood of Miami. Are you guys fucking kidding me?
A special operator. Special ops.
The thing is for me, what kind of sucky ass deal did we get with Soros? If like,
yeah. I'm so broke, bitch.
People had no idea that I was a B-R-O-K-E last year. Like, I'm like, if this is the Soros deal, like,
don't sign me up for this.
I think it's interesting that, you know, here conservatives are always like, oh, the purple hair liberals back at it again and Antifa. And like, you can almost tell physically, right, who's a crazy liberal and who's not, just by their appearance, the insane hair piercings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're watching those same women in Iran. When you look at the crowd and the videos and the pictures of the women protesting their hijabs, they're not the conservative Iranian women, my loves. They're not. They're left-wing, liberal, fringe, liberal minority of Iran. And you guys don't want to admit it because everybody thinks in America that all these women want to be liberated and want to fight their hijabs.
Yeah, Americans think that freedom to every woman out there, everywhere in the world, is being able to abort your babies and walk around with your tits showing, and that's public consensus, the best way for women to live. I hate to break it to you.
It's not true. A lot
of cultures, that doesn't mesh well. Even in Latino culture, it doesn't necessarily mesh well. People want to be able to have morality, and that is okay. We are not a nation of super high morals when we allow children at the age of 14 to chop off their breasts. We can't be the morality police when our country allows this to happen.
We're stopping puberty. You realize that? We're telling kids that they cannot stop puberty through puberty blockers. And later on, they can decide if, hey, maybe I did want to be a girl, but it's too late because I chopped my breast off. And now I look like a freaking mutant.
Yeah. Project Veritas just leaked a video of the pediatric something assembly or another. And in the video, basically one of the doctors is describing how he doesn't know what to do about his 14-year-old patients that are coming back to him and regretting their hormone therapy, where now they're infertile. And he's like, I see it sometimes with women in their 20s where they're like, I want to focus on my career and I'm not worried about it. And then they come back to me 10 years later and they're like, I met a guy. I want to have a baby now. I want to have a family and it's too late.
That's so sad.
And he's talking about how they don't have a solution for this. And yet there they are approving all sorts of things to, you know, cut off parts and stop puberty and make women infertile. It's really just
we went from 2 weeks to slow the spread to two to three years to let's just chop off everybody's body parts and their children
and teach kids how to indoctrinate.
Well, I will say, you know, that everyone's favorite villain, right? Even though, of course, Hitler is still the number one villain, we're going to go ahead and said that the second villain alive is Vladimir Putin, right?
Right.
Ah. And Putin back in 2013, I've talked about it literally, like I'm tired of talking about it. He gave us a warning about this gender bullshit uh-huh. culture that we're dealing with.
Uh-huh.
Why? This was when they hosted the Olympics back in Russia, okay? And they were pressing him because they had just signed a bill that mm-hmm. banned LGBT propaganda for children.
Mm-hmm.
And Putin, being the diplomat, because he is very diplomatic, they asked him during the Olympics, they were pressing him and saying, oh, you don't care about gay rights, you hurt gay people, you know, yada, yada, yada. And he said, listen, unlike other countries around the world, being gay is not criminalized in Russia. However, we are going to ban all LGBT propaganda because we're going to promote the nuclear family, a mom and a dad.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And we do not want children to be perpetrated with this ideology.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This was in 2013. That's mm-hmm. 9 years ago.
Cheese and crackers.
Okay. So Russia... We don't want to say we want to be like Russia, guys. We're not saying that. But these countries, China as well.
Right.
Even though they're a communist country, they understand that if they don't have a strong population
mm-hmm.
where, yes, the mother and father, for the most part, are going to raise the kids, we're going to keep traditional family.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have a country.
Right.
You're yeah. not.
Right.
You understand? You're not.
Mm-hmm.
Every yeah. single civilization or movement, even the bad guys, even the good guys, what were they? Disciplined man. A lot of times, faith-based men dying for Allah or dying for Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
This is what used to drive people mm-hmm. back in the day to fight for their lands and for their families.
For their families.
And for their families.
Right. Right.
You think that we're going to have Antifa full of degenerate, mentally confused trannies defend us? They're literally beating up women in the first world, in the Western world, at protests if you don't agree with the transgender ideology. We reported on it on this right. podcast plenty of times. About 2 months ago, when there was right. that woman at the YMCA in Washington, D.C., 85-year-old woman kicked out of her YMCA swimming class because she doesn't want to share the locker room with the biological man.
Yeah.
So now yeah. so now the first world has gone so woke
yeah.
and so free and so many rights that women are actually paying the price oppressed. Of the transgender and being oppressed because of the fucking trannies.
Women yeah. are probably more oppressed now, as Cole said, it's ever been to, you know, back in the times when we were allowed to vote. I want to make a clarification. Someone in the comments said, you have to be 18 to have a surgery. False again. Incorrect. False. There are children in Miami-Dade getting surgeries right. with parental consent
correct.
That does allow them to get double mastectomies under the age of 18. In fact, there is a doctor down here in Miami mm-hmm. that likes to refer to it as yeeting the teats.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeet the teats.
So yeet the teats. It's an actual thing. There's minors getting it done. So this illusion that we exist in that it doesn't happen, it does happen because
with
children are
consent.
Taking their parents to get the consent right. that they need in order to make that
we
happen.
We have pictures. So Dr. Gallenberg in Coral Gables, a fucking butcher. Like, honestly, I don't even like to watch her feed because when I did,
she's
I think
she's so insensitive to the entire thing.
To her, it's a joke. It's a joke. You know, she's talking about we just removed his tits off this girl. Like,
ew.
It's disgusting. And you could
she's
see.
Like, I'm so sad. I only have to yeet two teats today.
Oh my
like
gosh.
That. And she's on TikTok. This is how she's grabbing the kids. So she's famous. So she was a plastic surgeon, right? But then she realized that she was making more money, so much money by yeeting the tits out of young adolescent women, you know, or maybe 18 and over, whatever. So this woman, now the only thing she does all day, every day from 6 o'clock to 5 o'clock that she does is taking, removing the breasts of women.
That is insanity.
That's what she's doing. And yes, she has kids. One of the saddest pictures, I wish I had it to post it here, but one of the saddest pictures that I saw from her page was a girl. I showed it to you. That you could visibly see that she had been cutting herself, you know?
She's filled
all
with
over.
You see all of the
she
scars.
She has scars of cutting herself all over
this is her
child. Chest. No. One of her patients.
One of her
patients.
And in that, so she removed that breast.
And they're
so she
celebrating
poses.
It.
So she poses with the mom. the daughter, the new girl that or whatever, removed the breast. Yeah, yeah. And I zoom in. I'm like, Bella, look at this girl. You can visibly see that she's mentally ill.
The girl's covered in all of her scars from where you can see that she's been cutting herself for an extensive amount of time because those are older scars.
Absolutely.
And it's even until this day, I know people that have gotten like the gastric bypass and like the gastric sleeve.
Right.
They make them go to therapy for months in advance to start programming mentally, their brain, to start mentally that they're going to have to eat differently because now their life is going to change. They're going to have to consume less calories, all these other things.
They don't do anything.
They don't do that with these kids.
They don't do any of that with these kids.
There's no psychological evaluation for the next, for the next year or so. Like, is this true? Like, how can we truly diagnose this? Is this truly a gender dysphoria? Or is it something else? Is it just, a depression or bipolar disorder showing up in a different way?
They're calling it the social contagion. Think about it when you guys were in high school. You didn't have a single person identifying as a transgender. No. You probably didn't even have anybody come out as gay.
No, that's incorrect. In my high school, it was actually really strange. The graduating class before me, it's almost like if it turned into the cool thing to do to be bi. And the graduating class.
The bi stuff was around.
Nonetheless, a lot of men boys experimenting with other boys and girls experimenting with other girls. And it's interesting that it did catch on in that entire class, which lets you know that there is some kind of social influence to it at that age. I'm not saying that everybody that's gay is somehow influenced by, the collective.
Right.
But when you're that young and that susceptible, there's a lot of things that you're influenced by.
Absolutely.
And sexuality is one of those things that there was a statement that I heard a doctor make a couple of weeks ago on a podcast, and he made a statement. He's like, you're taking these kids at such a vulnerable age. When you're a teenager, you feel so out of place. Your body's weird. You don't like yourself. You don't know if you fit in. You're trying to make all these friends. Mm-hmm. And then you're telling them that if they cut off their breasts, they're special. That if they say that they don't identify with their gender, there's celebrations for them, and there's flags and there's groups, and you're so brave, and you're so... You're giving kids what they should be finding in sports or excelling in school or all these other things.
Yes.
You're giving them that validation of them feeling special through something really morbid.
But can we also talk about the prefrontal cortex not being developed
at that point?
And so they're not only being hindered with their mentality, but their decision-making processes for the rest of their lives. Not only are they mutilated and they're being indoctrinated, but they're not going to be able to make a full decision when that time comes, when their prefrontal cortex is supposed to develop.
So first of all,
in the comments actually
Jose,
making the argument.
I don't understand why you would even sit here
advocate
and defend
this.
Gender mutilation for kids or puberty blockers. That's pretty disgusting, and you're fucking evil and a degenerate as well. But with that being said, not really. You can literally go to a doctor, a psychologist, and they'll just check you off with what they think is gender dysphoria and start you on puberty blockers immediately.
So just because we've got sick doctors that went to universities that somehow made gender studies the thing to do, that they feel justified in doing it, and now it's very easy. We're not talking about the same process. This isn't a year-long process. They literally can just tell them, I feel out of place, and they're like, you know what, while you figure it out, let's put you on puberty blockers, young lady. That's it.
Do.
Infertile for forever, even if that girl changes her mind later on.
Go on Twitter and see all of the detransitioners and how terrible their lives are now. There was this one guy the other day talking about how he smells, or it was supposed to be a female to male transition, and now she's peeing on herself all day long and smelling fucking piss. You really think that's psychologically, that's okay? What about the fact that they cut off your freaking arm to make a penis?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a grown adult, for the sake of just allowing people to do whatever they want,
I want these doctors in jail. I want every single one of these surgeries, even for adults, because this is something that pisses me off, and I've said it literally almost every single episode. I am done with, I don't care what adults do with their body. I do care what adults do with their body. You know why? Because now we have one of those adults, Rachel Levine, as part of our government preaching about puberty blockers for kids. Had you asked me this 10 years ago, who cares what you do? You want to cut your tits off after you're 18? Sure, why not? The same thing you do this and that. But now We have those people penetrating our institutions and trying to get everybody else as part of their demented agenda. I'm good, love. No, right. I do care. I do care what they do with their bodies, because these are the people now that are surgeons. Yeah. You guys see What Is a Woman?
Yeah.
With Matt Walsh. And he's trying to talk to these scholars and these doctors.
They can't even,
you know, because they have a little they have a little white coat. So they become a white coat priest and these right. doctors. And they're, oh, what is a woman? Oh, I think I can't answer that. I think you're going to have to leave my office. You can't answer what is a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, a woman. A woman. If you just identify as a woman, then you're a woman. No, that's not really what it is, bro.
Men can give birth, Linda.
No, it's just not. And to be honest with you, I want these surgeries banned for both adults and children. And I don't want to stop there. I want those surgeons or whatever in jail. Their medical license stripped, and then they need to go to jail.
They do.
That's what I can say, I guess, publicly, so I don't get banned. All right. We'll keep it at jail.
Let's go on to the next topic. I think we gotta talk about our boy.
Who's our boy?
Christian.
Oh, sorry. We have so many boys.
We have so many boys. All right. So we've gotten a lot of comments because somehow Linda and I became the PR company for Christian Walker.
Yes.
Which we are not. All right. So yes, we had Christian Walker on the show. Christian Walker is a friend, and we feel that maybe we just want to kind of like talk a little bit about what our thoughts were on what it was that occurred. Per usual, the conspiracy theories are everywhere. Oh, the worst. That Christian Walker must have gotten bought by the Democrats because there's only 30 days up until the election and he's turned on his dad. However, what you guys don't see behind the scenes is that Christian already felt some kind of way about his dad running to begin with. And
first of all, before you go on, my friend, let me just say one thing. Christian's mother, right, who he grew up with because his parents have been separated since he was like 3 years old, is very wealthy. Christian doesn't need at all 1 cent to do this at all. That's the first thing I want to say. Obviously, I'm not going to get into details. But as far as the conspiracy theory of he got paid off by the Democrats, where the fuck do you guys come up with these things? Like, no, you don't get paid to tell the truth. You just don't. You know, I'll let
back
you continue.
To the point, which is that, you know, Christian had already, from the moment that his father, actually before his father even announced that he was running, had already expressed behind the scenes that he wasn't entirely happy with the situation.
Right.
Christian had a tough childhood, like so many of us do. And he's very young. And these are
very
things that
young.
He's very young. Still, he's only 21, 22 years old. These are things that he is still processing. And because he understands mm-hmm. that his father didn't have the cleanest past, he was concerned about the damage that would bring to his family as you run for politics and then all these other things start getting exposed. He didn't want to put his mom through that. He didn't want to go through that. Now, to Christian's point, part of what he felt was that I want my dad to run on a platform where he upfront speaks about where he falls short. This is my truth. I'm not a perfect man. These are the mistakes that I've made. However, that does not interfere with my ability to lead in this position, right? Well, and again, did he necessarily go about it and have his freak out or whatnot? Maybe I would have advised against that and told him, Christian, that's not the way. But it is important to clarify again how it is that narratives can get spun out of control. How many of us don't have problems at home? How many of us didn't have some kind of anger or resentment towards our parents for things that maybe weren't great about our childhood when we were in our early 20s before we go through therapy and have all these things that help us heal those things? So to kind of cut the rumor mill short, Christian did not get bought. Was it one of those things where maybe it definitely wasn't the smartest thing because of timing? I understand. Right. But it's also, you know, it was a trigger thing. Christian is a
And it also shows the authenticity that people don't like. It doesn't matter where you stand. Right. It doesn't matter if you are a conservative or a liberal or Republican or a Democrat or a religious or non-religious. People don't like authenticity. People like cookie cutters. Even when you say, I like free thinkers, you want your free thinker to be a certain way.
Right.
I like a conservative. So you're not the real conservative. We talked about this before. I'm a Christian. Well, you're a Catholic, so you're a piece of shit. Like, we see this in every single what do you call it, aspect, niche, which is like, if you step out of line in your community, whether that's, you know, let's say the truther community or whatever, in this case is the conservatives, then therefore you are a grifter, therefore you're fake, you're bought. And it's literally the same thing over and over again. Any person that is authentic and that has one of these vulnerable moments on the screen, they rush to get them canceled. We're seeing it with Kanye. We've seen it with Candace Owens. We're seeing it with Christian Walker right now. And it's really unfortunate because, you know, one of the things that I've heard over and over from followers, it's, you know, about Christian Walker is, well, he supported his father for 2 years. Like, why now? Like, he's had a great relationship with his father because you see a post on Instagram, because you see a tweet, online, or we go online for 30 minutes, 3 hours, 4 hours a day. Like, you have no idea what people go through. Right. It's kind of like when somebody, a famous person announces a divorce and they're like, what? Giselle and Tom Brady are getting a divorce. They were like the most perfect couple ever.
Tom Brady getting a divorce?
They're separated.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. So disconnected from like celebrity gossip. I had no idea that they were getting a divorce.
Like, I'd like to add to all this is can we all remember when we were 21 years old?
Right.
But 21 years old without a platform. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nobody wants to give 21-year-old Bella a platform. Let me tell you.
Not me.
Nobody wants to give 21-year-old Bella.
But the thing is, like, putting it into perspective, that is Christian. He is a 21-year-old with a platform with hurts in his past. Like, the thing is, there's no real blueprint out there to deal with hurts unless, you know, you really retract back to faith where there is a higher God that can help you and walk you through that. But people have to transcend to get there on their own. And so with that being said, I think we live in such a disingenuous, judgmental culture, especially the conservative side, because you have to be, not only do you have to be perfect conservative, you have to be morally perfect. You can't have, I mean, even if you
wear too much makeup, they'll criticize you for it.
They'll criticize you for literally absolutely everything.
They hate on me for rollerblading. Yeah, like, they've literally, like, people, I just had a woman yesterday, I blocked her. I didn't even interact with her. She commented in one of the videos that I did with Chaney Rich, the street interviewer guy, which so many people thought that I did that on purpose. Also, they came up with this whole conspiracy. Even conservatives came up with the conspiracy that I was paid for.
Wow.
That by a freaking 20-year-old YouTuber was paying me to do these interviews. When the reality is that the guy reached out to me and said, hey, can I interview you? We couldn't meet up a couple times. Finally, I said, hey, Sunday, I'm going rollerblading, because I go rollerblading every Sunday. I do 50 miles. I say, meet me on the boardwalk. We'll do it there right before I rollerblade. So people thought that it was like a whole scheme of me, like, dressing up with rollerblades and getting paid by a 20-year-old YouTuber to do these videos when I do this every Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, and they also have a problem with what I wear. So this girl goes online.
I'm sorry that she looks the way she does rollerblading, guys. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, what do you want her to do?
Remember, lady tried canceling you for wearing too much makeup.
Too much makeup? I mean, having a makeup line, like, you can't do
that. They tried canceling me for wearing white toenails tomorrow. They told me that white toenails, they're like, you know what they say about girls with white toenails?
What do they say about white
toenails? Apparently they're old.
Red dress.
The toenails. They literally looked at my toenails and they're like, oh no, white toenails. You know what that means. It's like, bro, I really don't, guys.
They've literally gone on. Like, I had another Christian that I blocked and he ended up emailing like 3 times and he's like, oh, do you just, whenever you're in Miami Beach sipping your margaritas and rolling blading, just think about, and he goes on this round. I'm like, bro, like, why are you such a hater, man? Like,
dude, what is wrong with you?
And it's true what Shooter 305 is saying. Conservatives are so cringe, no wonder they lose the culture. They've never wanted to engage in the culture. This is why they lost it. Candace says this over and over again. Why do I talk about culture? Why do I care about the culture? It's because the culture shapes policy. The degenerate LGBT culture is what has shaped the policy that you see. For example, now in California, just became a, what is it? A sanctuary state for transgender kids. Amazing. Where they can run away from home and get surgeries and get treatment for their gender dysphoria. Why do we have this social contagion going on? Because it penetrated our culture. It penetrated our institutions. Mm-hmm. It's in education. It's on Netflix. It's in books. That is culture. It's the rappers or the music artists.
Well,
how are you going to take back the culture if you don't want to participate in the culture? And then anybody that's different and doesn't fit the mold,
right,
there's a problem with that person. Right.
And I'm gonna just make the record that I'm not changing. Like, I'm not changing.
Oh, no, you're not changing. Not. No.
Like, nobody is convincing anybody to change the way that we do things. I'm gonna continue doing my style of content. I'm gonna continue wearing black and white. I'm gonna continue having a black and white set. No, I'm not part of the Illuminations, right?
Like,
I'm not, like, the thing is, like, this is so ridiculous that you can't even wear a freaking color without being called something. But the thing is, like you guys out there who criticize people who are actually doing shit in the movement, who are actually doing things in our own niche, you know, you guys with Miami local politics, myself with the anti, you know, trafficking stuff in my own niche, like, my thing is, like, you send me receipts of how you do it. That's my best thing. My best.
I always ask people, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Send
me receipts from the last 90 days of what you have done for your community or for anti-trafficking. Give me the receipts and then we can have a conversation. Because you can tell me how to do it better.
I was trying to pull it up. There is an account I follow on Truth Social, Bruno Barking, the amazing Anon. And she was basically making the point, talking about Christian and Herschel, where she's like, conservatives have set the bar so high into perfection when it comes into morality that we've become our own worst enemy. The bar has the bar has been set not just high, it's at perfection. And if you fall short by the slightest bit, then there is a justification to cancel you and to discredit your work, to discredit your truth, and to discredit your voice.
Preach.
And it's sad because what we've done is we've become our own worst enemy because we're so busy. It's like the Spider-Man meme.
Right.
No, you're not a real Christian. You're not a real conservative. You.
Yes.
It's like we've canceled one another.
Just so everybody knows, on Monday, I had been off when this whole thing went down with Christian. I've been off the internet all day. The internet to me. That's why it happened. So, like, the internet to me, I'm a very intuitive person. And, like, I just knew that, like, shit was, like, popping off. Like, I went on Twitter and then I saw, like, drama with Elon Musk and Zelensky. And then I went on Instagram and there was, like, drama with, like, Candace Owens and Kanye. And then there was, like, Iranian drama. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be off the internet all day long. Like, I'm like looking through my DMs and it's like, can you please post about this? Did you see White Lives Matter? Did you see Elon Musk? Oh, Iranian women are being killed. And I was like, I'm out.
Linda calls me and she's
preoccupied.
She's like, the internet is just so ghetto today. I don't know. I just can't handle it. It's taxing me. I'm just going to clean the house. So Linda turns off her phone and puts on the Luis Miguel and starts cleaning. And Christian called her, guys.
Texted me
Christian
a bunch of times.
Christian called in text. And I'm just saying that Linda could have stopped it.
So we lose Georgia. It's my fault.
If we lose Georgia, it's Linda's fault for turning on the Luis Miguel.
20 minutes before, I'm like, Bella, just something doesn't feel right, dude. Like, I'm just not going to be online today. And, like, boom, it popped off. But what I did want to say is that I have a friend, I won't say his name, but I got a call from the first person about this situation, right? And I'm like, again, I'm like in my house cleaning, you know, doing my thing. He's like, are you watching Twitter right now? I'm like, no, I'm cleaning, I'm moving boxes. Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, what the fuck is wrong with Christian Walker? He's going to ruin the election. And he's going off. I'm like, wait, hold on. Let me just go see what's going on. So I go see it. I'm like, oh, shit. It's like real popping off. Like, really,
screenshot
really.
Sends it to me. I told you but I need to stay off the internet.
The craziest thing, and I told Christian this, is that this specific person was talking about how Christian was going to be canceled and he was going to ruin his career. And oh, he's not going to be able to do that, and going off into, like, you know, this is it for him. And I said, hold up a second. I literally started laughing. I was like, What have conservatives offered Christian Walker, who's basically a TikTok celebrity or Instagram? Nothing.
Nothing.
Does he have a contract with Fox? Are you guys paying him to influence anywhere? He has a zero monetary benefit from this movement. I know that as his personal friend. Is zero. Nothing. Even when they did the Gavin Newsom campaign, they casted him to be part of that campaign, they paid him $0. Why is that? Because conservative organizations and conservatives love to use our platforms, love to talk about their little influencers, and they don't want to give a single dollar. They want to use us for our platforms, but they don't want to give a single dollar, nothing at all. What are you talking about? He's not gonna.
It just goes back to the bit. It actually segues great into the next story. Mm-hmm. For you guys that are unaware, a couple of weeks ago, I want to say a little bit over a month ago, I was invited to participate in the True the Vote, Into the Pit of the True the Vote, where basically they released some information to us about some discrepancies that they had discovered during their research for the 2000 Mules documentary. Part of what this research that they found was somewhat proof that information of poll workers in America was being stored in a server in China. That's all they knew. They had found the web address where it was hosted, and they shared this information with us. And what this did was that then a group of people that had attended the pit spent endless hours, nights. I haven't slept in weeks, going to sleep at 6 a.m, doing research in order to collaborate this story and see if it's true. Point of the matter is that the research was so effective that two nights ago, the owner of this company called Connick, K-O-N-N-E-C-H, the owner of Connick, a man by the name of Eugene Yu, was arrested in LA County for mishandling PII for Americans. So, this is a huge
monumental
win.
Actually,
we did that. Like, regular ass people did that. Like, I know that people are like, oh, big accounts. It's like, bro, I'm a fucking nobody. I have to start from scratch every time they take down one of my accounts. There's nothing special about my account. There's nothing special about
she has people. The same 24 hours as you do.
We did this. Regular people like you and me did this open source research. We got this guy arrested. And guys, it is so sad. The response from our side has been to tear this down because people weren't involved in the research. So they just want to discredit the people that were.
Right.
So it's been so sad to watch this doesn't mean anything. What did you guys accomplish? The elections are still going to come. Are you guys a fact? Have you ever considered that 2020 was not the first election that was stolen?
Well, you can't say that on the live.
Too late. Have you considered that 2020 was not the first election that maybe was
compromised?
Have you guys considered that maybe we're fighting a battle that goes a lot further than past 2020? It's so small-minded to think that any small victory that we have, because it's not enough, because it's not the huge victory that you want, that somehow that doesn't count. We are in a position right now where we need to be lifting one another up on all these small victories.
Absolutely.
If there's one arrest, there's one person held accountable, if there's one story
broken, so many doomers. And it's usually, you know who are the worst doomers? The Christians. And I'm so glad that I didn't call it out. And it was actually Anthony, who's like what I would consider like one of the most fervent, legitimate Christians that I know. And he did a post a few days ago. And I was kind of shocked by it because we talk on a day-to-day basis. And I voice my opinions on my frustration with the Christian community.
Yeah.
Not because I don't like them or because I have anything negative overall to just hate on their faith. Nothing to do with their faith and everything to do with their attitude of, I don't care because I'm just going to wait for Jesus Christ to come back. Like, bitch, when? Like, it could be 2,000 years from now or it could be tomorrow. Like, what do you mean?
One, that I don't think faith works like that.
Right. But to my point is that Anthony, on his own, he did a whole post on his story. And he talked about how, you know, Christians can be some of the biggest doomers in our movement. Of how they're so demoralized and nothing is ever as perfect as they want it to be and how, forget it, I'm not going to vote, I'm not going to do this. And I'm like, you know, this is exactly what I've been trying to say. we're, to me, is the people that have faith, whether it's the Jewish or, you know, the Muslims or, you know, the Christians, your books talk about faith more than anything else.
Right.
The Bible has the word faith and believe or whatever. I don't know how many times.
Thousands of times.
Over and over again to keep faith and believe. And all of a sudden,
because
you don't practice this holy book that you believe in, it's kind of weird. I don't know.
You know what's the argument that's constantly being... Well, that's another thing. It's like they're scared of rapture, which I've never understood that. Because if you're a believer, rapture isn't a bad thing because you're a believer. But I think that one of the things that I noticed that continuously comes up is like, well, we're promised persecution as Christians. Right. Yes, we are promised persecution as Christians. I understand that. That's it. We're just going to be persecuted for forever. And there's never going to be a moment where we stand up to fight for our faith. Because in case you haven't realized, the persecution is to stop us from being Christians. So are we going to stop believing in Jesus Christ? Or are we going to stand up and continue to fight for our rights to believe in what it is that we want to believe in?
But also those people that just say that persecution is part of being a Christian, that we have to accept it, they're gonna have to tell us how it is. That
it's just clockwork. Somebody just commented, persecution is part of being a Christian. Yes, I understand that, Adriana. Of course, we all understand that we are going to be persecuted, but we also have to defend our right to be Christians.
Right.
We have to defend our right.
Then
to let's just be
China. Then we can just be China. Is it no, right? There's no religion allowed in China. I think Christians are like heavily persecuted.
I'm pretty sure that's it.
Is that how you want to live? You want to live in a world where in a country where you can't carry your Bible? Yeah. In fact, we are facing persecution here. I'll get to that in a little bit. But these people are going to have to answer to us how it is that we had Christian crusades.
Yep.
They're going to have to answer to us how it is that we had conquistadores like Hernando Cortes or whatever, and all these, you know, Catholics coming over to this side of the world to take over not just the lands, but also preach Christianity.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to tell us how it is that they're going to have to tell us how it is that so many Christians have fought battles and won in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, the thing is, like,
they're gonna have to respond that to us.
With faith, you're supposed to be a living example. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be a vessel for those that need to come to Christ. And in order for you to do that, you have to have a mission in your life. And it can be something small, it can be something big, but you are not going to attract people to convert into Christianity by doing nothing. And yes, it comes with strife, and yes, it comes with persecution. It's given many times over and over in many books of the Bible that there is going to be persecution. There's going to be struggle in anything that you do. But the big point is that you walk with him in your mission for you to accomplish it. And another big part to that is, yes, we are living in an end times generation. I mean, for sure. Right. But that's not to say that we're at the very end of it or the very tail of it. We do see signs and we see, you know, the telltales that we are living through it. But the word says that we don't know when he's coming back.
We just don't.
How do we just give up and not show people some hope and give people mission? You need to actually dig deep. You have to find your relationship with the Creator to find that out. And you're not going to do that by giving up and saying, oh, well, there's rapture and it's coming. You don't know that.
Here's something that I want to...
Well, it's like Moses parting the seas, right? Like the faith of like looking up at that monster and 100%. Thinking, we're screwed. I guess we could just turn around,
that's
guys.
That's exactly what
I guess we should just turn around now.
That's 100%. And look, there was a big mission with that, because the elite, it says, there was a version of the Bible where I was like, oh my gosh, it says the elite. It said the elite. Pharaoh and his elite were coming right behind them. And the Egyptians the Israelites didn't want to cross into the through the Red Sea because they were scared. And, you know, had they not faced their fear and gone with their faith to cross into the Red Sea through the Red Sea, the elite would have came and killed them anyway. But instead, God had a bigger purpose. He allowed them, and he even he provided that protection for the Israelites. And lo and behold, the Egyptians did come behind them, and God wiped all of them out. So we don't see the big picture, but that's because God's ways are higher. They are always
right, you got to get in the fight. The faith is in trusting that Yes, you're going to be persecuted. Yes, this is your fight. And your faith has to be so big to know that God is with you every right. step of the way on this fight.
Right.
A moment just to thank American Advocate again. Thank you so much for your contribution. We really appreciate it. Thanks for supporting us. So we don't have to rely on the lizard people and the Illuminati.
We're not funded, unfortunately. No Soros money, not unfortunately. No Illuminati money. But speaking of Christian persecution, you know, per usual, every time we talk about another country or another dictatorship, there's somebody in the comments that will say, well, you know, I don't want to be like China and I don't want to be like you, whatever country I'm talking about. And today I posted how President Trump yesterday during his speech, he said that the reason why, you know, how he got his idea to give the death penalty to drug dealers, which is one of the things he wants yes, for the country and human traffickers, mm-hmm. is because when he was talking to President Xi, how do you say it? No, from China.
Oh, Xi. Yeah.
Okay. When he was talking to President Xi,
I'm so used to you calling him Winnie that I
just call him Winnie the Pooh. So when he was talking to the president of China, he asked him, you know, do you have a drug problem in China? And he said, no. Why would we have a drug problem in China? He goes, because we do. We have a huge drug problem in China. He goes, well, we have a very speedy, fast justice system. Uh-huh. And, you know, if you do this, you're going to get the death penalty. So obviously people are like, I don't think I'm going to drug deal because I'm going to get death penalty. So with that being said, somebody said in my comments, well, I don't want to be like China because, you know, China has religious persecution. And I said, my love, today,
right here,
I'm going to read you guys what I found today on Twitter. 11 pro-life activists have been indicted by Biden's DOJ for protesting outside of an abortion clinic in Tennessee. Meet the Christian mamas and papas charged as co-conspirators now facing up to 11 years in federal prison for a peaceful blockade. And it's literally all grandpas and grandmas.
All of them. Well, they ran into a pastor's, a part of that story that has to be the same story that they ran into a pastor's house. Because again, he was advocating.
No, that's another story. So I know it's the same kind of rules. These people were. Yeah, it's the same. That one, the one you're talking about, they're alleging that the guy's kid or he pushed. I don't know. This is another one in Tennessee. But my point here is
we don't even have to go that far. Let's talk about what happened here in Miami.
We did last episode.
The pregnancy center here in Miami-Dade was vandalized by you see the same Antifa member that's been crashing events and putting up flyers and doing all these illegal things. He walks by the camera on the way to the center in the middle of the night wearing a hoodie. All of a sudden, graffiti appears in the building and the police cannot make the connection that the same guy that's been harassing this family planning center for the last couple of months is clearly the same guy doing the vandalism, and they won't look into it. We have an FBI office right here, Miami. It's not that far.
They won't look into it. The guy's still walking around free. We're the ones that have to do the job.
But I'm sure that Carl's listening to my phone calls.
So there is persecution here in the U.S. They just make it in a legal way so that most of us just say, well, they were breaking the law. You know, you can't be praying in front of an abortion clinic anymore because it's illegal. You can't be doing this because it's illegal. Look at what they did to the baker. The news came out today because after he denied he had two cases. Mm-hmm. He had the case of the cake that he didn't want to bake the cake for the gay couple, whatever. He won that case. And then he had a transgender couple that wanted to do the coming out cake or something like that. And he just won that case again. But it goes to show you that the ideology of the left, right, they want to push that onto you, and if you don't comply and if you push back, obviously this guy is religious, he's a Christian, he doesn't believe in that, then of course you are going to be persecuted for your beliefs. This sets a really bad precedent. I was reading someone's, I'm not going to go into it because there was a lot of legality behind it, but I was reading someone's like assessment of the whole situation and saying this is actually a pretty bad precedent overall for civil rights, because it's a waste of money for both. It's a waste of money for both the baker and also, like, you know, for him getting all this lawyer fees and stuff.
Right, correct.
Just to literally defend his right to say
no. To just say no. and be able to exist by his values. All right. So, oh, did you just disconnect your mic?
Is this working?
Can you guys hear Linda?
Can you guys hear me?
Somebody give us the okay that you hear Linda.
So somebody asked, who's Caleb Freestone? So Caleb Freestone is a young man who moved to Miami from Chicago, if I'm not Michigan. Sorry. He's an Antifa member. He's actually a white supremacist that's been trying to harass the Latino conservative Latino community for a whole year. And Caleb Freestone, the first time we saw Caleb Freestone was last year when he was showing up to school board meetings to take down names of parents who spoke against the mask at that time, or CRT, or the LGBT education. And then he would go to the Antifa page on Twitter and dox parents. Then we saw him crashing. It was first the school boards, then it was the vandalism at the pro-life clinic. Then now he also crashed about 2 weeks ago, the gala for the pro-life clinic. So it's like, you can't exist in the same reality with these people. You have to, of course, want abortion up to the point of birth. You have to want kids to change their gender. You have to want all these things that they want and agree with. And if you don't, the morality police, our morality police, which is Antifa, right? In some countries, you have morality police enforcing hijabs. In this country, you have the morality police enforcing transitioning of children and also abortions. That's the morality police for us is Antifa, right? Also, they tell you who can and cannot exist online. Right. Oh, this person shouldn't be online. We have the example of Alejandro Caraballo, also known as Alejandra Caraballo, transgender from male to female, who's obsessed with Gays Against Groomers. Jamie, the founders, one of our good friends, really good friend of mine, has designed every single item that I have in my merch store.
A gay Jewish woman that needs to be reiterated, because somehow what they've done is that in order to dehumanize her and take away the true effect that her message has, they refuse to call her what she is, which is that she herself is gay. She's a gay woman. This can be tracked through her entire trajectory of being on social media, where she's an open gay woman who has a conservative Instagram page that has been around for years called The Gay Who Strayed. It's literally her entire
bit. In the title.
And they won't mention it. They really want
to question. They question her gayness.
All her members.
She's engaged, and in an article, one of the recent articles from an LGBT magazine called Advocate, they literally said that she's allegedly or pretends to be or something a lesbian woman. So Jamie went on Twitter today and she posted a picture of her and her fiance, and she said, you know, this has been out in the open for the past like 4 or 5 years. What are you guys talking about? You know, how dare you think that I'm just pretending to be a lesbian woman to gain points for Gays Against Groomers?
They're discrediting they've got something like over 50 members right now, and they've gone as far as discrediting every single member. They've got transvestites, they've got gays, they've got bis, they've got people very represented in the gay community and kind of like every spectrum that could be out there. And all these are people that celebrate being gay. The majority of their videos, they'll film them behind a gay pride flag or whatever it is. And the media, just to shut down their message, which is, don't teach kids to play with butts. The media, just to shut down their message, will strip them of their gayness. The same way that they strip us of our Latinas when they call like, oh, you're not brown. You're white supremacist.
You're white. Are you Latino white supremacist?
Let me read this. Speaking of stripping away people's identity, this is a tweet from today by Vishal Singh. I think he's Indian. I don't know how to say his last name. He goes by @VPS_reports. He's an Antifa reporter on Twitter. And he goes, I'm thankful for Kanye West because he has finally put to bed the false idea that someone has to be white to be a white supremacist. Anybody of any race can believe in white supremacy. Wow. In fact, convincing other races to support white supremacy, it's an integral part of the process.
This is who they are.
This is hilarious.
You gotta love it. They called me Linda Lindsay. I reposted a tweet by Nino America, of all people, who's like the biggest. The thing is that Nino loves trolling them. When Nino recently got arrested at some event, which was a horrible
traumatic thing. I saw that.
It was very sad and it was very unfair. But when he gets arrested, they ask him, what's your race? And he's like, I'm a white man. They've been calling me a white supremacist all this time. And he's a cholo from Texas. And he's like, they've been calling me a white supremacist all this time. Might as well identify. He's like, I identify as a white man. And
it's like, I saw that. You're looking at that.
I love it. But they'll call it again. Ethnic. It's like, it doesn't matter that it's like, Nino's clearly Mexican. I'm clearly Latina. Like, you're clearly brown. Like, those things don't matter anymore. We lived in a warped reality where it's like men had have babies and black people are white supremacists. And it's the narratives don't end.
Trump said it yesterday as well, where he said, you know, so many people were like, you already have a bad rep with the Latinos when he first ran because of the comments about, you know, rapists and criminals coming through the border. There's no way if you continue to preach about having strong borders and border security that you're going to gain any Latino vote. And he said, watch me, bet. And he did.
Yeah.
And it turns out that Latinos do appreciate a strong border, that they did agree, obviously not all of them, but they did agree with a stronger border security, the wall, and everything else that Donald Trump was preaching. Today, DACA comes back in the news. And I wasn't going to talk about this, but I just remember that I saved a tweet because Joe Biden tweeted, it's not fair what's happening to the DACA kids, blah, blah, blah. They're still in limbo. We need to find a solution. And Congress needs to find a solution and a pathway to citizenship. I'm like,
recently, bro, must be 30 days to an election.
Bro, we have been dealing with this for the past 12 years since Obama started the DACA. Oh, it was because some court deemed DACA to be unconstitutional, because it is. It's an unlawful. Obama created DACA through an executive order. This is unlawful. This is unconstitutional. It's simply not real. That's not how you, like, you just give a pathway to citizenship to millions of people. Trump, though, offered these kids a pathway to citizenship on three separate occasions. On three separate occasions, the Democrats denied Trump's request to get border security and to get more money for the border wall. We talked about it before. Why is that? Because the Democrats want to be able to hang that little DACA. We're going to help you. We're going to help you. We're going to make you legal every single election cycle. And don't think that it's not going to stay like that for years to come.
No, they're going to be dangling this on forever until the DACA kids qualify for Social Security. And then at that point, maybe there'll be some kind of solution.
Right.
So let's talk.
We didn't talk about the fact that Kanye called out Jared Kushner. Yep. Kanye today called out Jared Kushner, and a lot of us have a problem with Jared Kushner and his influence on Trump. Obviously, Trump, obsessed with his daughter. His favorite kid is obviously Ivanka. Everybody knows that. He brought her on board and her husband, you know, both New York liberals, Democrats, long life New York Democrats. And Jared Kushner, to many of us, was possibly one of the worst people that was influencing Trump, and probably one of the people that kept Trump from being his best.
Yeah.
And today, out of nowhere, and I have no idea why, Kanye decided to call out Jared Kushner and literally state what we've been wanting to say, that Jared Kushner was holding back Trump from greatness.
I mean, we've all been saying it for a while. I just thought that it was interesting that Kanye was that tapped in. Where
seriously.
I was like, look at Kanye.
Yeah. He did say Ivanka's fire, which obviously I disagree with, because I think also Ivanka, you know, there's certain things I like. There's certain things I didn't like. I do appreciate her grace, her beauty, you know, her style. Good woman role model.
Very eloquent.
Very eloquent. Good woman role model. There's things that I could say she did well and helped her father with. But both of those characters would be best if they just stayed away from the White House if he does run again.
I love that the responses are coming in of people that are Googling Caleb.
What are they saying? What are
that dude looks like a vampire. Yeah, no way. I know. Imagine being a parent at a school board meeting advocating for your children and that guy sitting right next to you writing down your name so he can give it to a violent extremist group. Oh my gosh. That's what we have to deal with in Miami-Dade. And honestly, it's not just Miami-Dade. That's what we get to tell you about Miami-Dade because we're active. Mm-hmm. This is why it's important that there is presence at school board.
He does look like a vampire.
Oh, it is. He's disgusting. It's really bad. It's really bad.
So we're getting very close to the end of the podcast, but I want to give Natalie a minute to discuss with us a story that she's currently breaking. It's an action story that's breaking live right now over the last couple of days regarding the Miss America pageant?
Miss USA. And let me tell you, I was like not tapped in at all in the pageant world at all. Like the last time I used to watch pageant shows was like with my family when we used to have TV and all that.
That they used to give them in the Spanish channel. Right, so they're like, right, watch Miss America.
The Trump pageant days. But I got recent, whistleblowers from industry professionals in the pageant world, which to me, like, again, my channel is mostly based on truth and exposing and all that, right? So I just dissect things. But someone just kind of threw it in my lap and they're like, yo, this has been going on for years. You know, there's favoritism, people advance, and it's not really clear how. But then they attach screenshots. So the allegations are, let's understand the organizational structure. Miss USA, for whatever unknown reason, they gave parentage rights to this woman by the name of Crystal Stewart. And she is parentage. So like licensing over the organization. But this has never been done in Miss USA history. I had to learn all of this recently. I didn't know anything about the
basically Miss USA went to shit when Trump left.
Right. Okay. So that's actually a good clarification. So actually, when Trump was running for presidency, he sold Miss USA to IMG Endeavor, which is a Hollywood agency. They have been accused, or an agent from there has been accused by Terry Crews of grabbing his no-no parts at a industry party. So that's who owns Miss USA, by the way. So Crystal Stewart's a former 2008 Miss USA. They, for whatever reason, there was no announcement, no position posting, no nothing. They gave her the licensing rights over Miss USA brand, right? So that's Miss Teen USA as well. Right. Now, the cutting to the chase, the information that I got was a leaked email that had multiple sexual harassment and allegations by the name of, allegedly, this guy by the name of Max Seabricks, who is her husband. And so the big controversy is that, the leadership within Miss USA never did anything to address it. There was no HR. And actually, I'm good. I'm going to release a video maybe tomorrow on an internal recording that I have obtained from the internal industry professionals that allegedly Crystal Stewart admits this, that her husband has been sending inappropriate messages and soliciting SA from the contestants. Now, the reason why this is a problem is because it is considered a felony.
SA is
sexual assault.
Okay.
So it's
I know we got a talking code here. So
Natalie's got all the code.
It's because I have to on my chat. I have to self-censor myself. So I'm so used to it. But so allegedly it's a felony if you assist the contestants in advancing in the pageant, in that pageant.
Right.
So Now there's a separate scandal that I didn't even see coming, but allegedly the contestants are taking on this one, but allegedly the pageant has been rigged, or they think that it's being rigged because now, and I don't know if it's ever going to connect, but allegedly it seems to be that there's some sort of favoritism and advancing. You do this favor for me, you get this place, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So there are contestants that are now coming out and saying this thing is like, there's so many things that are not right about Miss USA.
Right, because we have no way. I mean, there's no way. Clearly, it's all alleged information right now. We don't know if there's sexual favors being exchanged and for some kind of recommendation.
That's usually
or whatnot.
How it was in Colombia. It's kind of, and also because of the narcos. So back in the day, it was like known that the narcos would, kind of threatened pageants
pageant owners or whatever you call them, mm-hmm. and if their queen, like their girlfriends at the time or the women they were sleeping with, didn't win, then they would kill them. So most of the pageants back the in like back in the '80s, I mean, they were still beautiful women, but right. it was still rigged. You know, it was like a thing that like back in the '80s,
right?
These narcos had a hand in everything,
right?
So if their women didn't win, you right. know, there was going to be some problems.
There was going to be some problems. But see, the thing,
Linda's eyes just lit up. Like, I know, where's she that man for me now?
There's going to be some problems.
Where are you?
Where's a man that's going to threaten bodily harm if I'm not recognized as the most beautiful woman in the country?
And Chapo's son, you hear that? He has a fine son that still somewhere in Sinaloa. I don't know. I'm just saying. I kind of
por si acaso. Por si acaso en el podcast.
I don't know. Do I have to escape the U.S.? Am I going to be a political prisoner? Then I'll just go over to Sinaloa. You know, live the good life. I don't know.
But yeah, those are the allegations. I mean, the screenshots are compelling. And like I mentioned in my channel, you know, you know what the funny thing is? Like, I had the screenshots and, you know, I stated in my video, I disclosed, like, I don't know that these screenshots are legitimate. I don't know. But if they are, then this is compelling that there is something funny going on. About a couple days or a few days after I published my video, somebody tried to file a privacy notice on that video. And oh, wow. The funny thing about this privacy
they notice, always how do they but, always get you immediately?
But here's the thing. The funny thing is that they tell on themselves. Because FYI, when you get a privacy notice from YouTube and somebody files it, it can be anybody. And funny enough, I got it on a Epstein video one time.
When I was talking about a certain
handler, alleged handler,
alleged handler.
It was a particular part.
Somehow watches Natalie's content enough where minutes after her video was posted.
Right. So when you get a privacy notice from YouTube, they let you know that a person, they don't tell you who, has filed a privacy notice. It's from this timestamp to this timestamp. You have the opportunity to blur out a particular part of the video. And so the funny thing about this particular notice was that they said 0.01 of the second all the way through 32 minutes and 25 seconds. That video was only 32 minutes and 24 seconds long. So they said the entire video, you got to blur it out. So the thing about the video is that I source publicly available information in some parts of that video. Right. Open corporates, you know, documentation, notices, correspondence. Not everything was private information in that video. So that's how I know. I'm like, this is kind of incriminating.
You're just trying to stop this from getting out.
You're just trying to stop this from getting
out. And now I'm going to be a crazy Latina and I'm just going to post about it twice as much. Like, I mean,
well, it compels me to, because it's like, so now are you legitimizing that this information is real? Are you legitimizing that this is your private information and you just don't want to get it out? So the thing is still ongoing. I'm hoping that Miss USA, look, I'm going to just give them the benefit of the doubt that they just didn't know how to come out with it, but I would like to see Miss USA come out and address these allegations because they are pretty serious. And if it is the fact that they have bestowed some sort of favoritism to the contestants, I mean, think about all the little, I mean, I wasn't one of those little girls, but think about the little girls or, you know, young ladies who aspire to go into that.
That's I would never dream. Let my daughter be in a pageant.
No, I would never.
My daughter, I would never. And it's funny because my mother wanted me to be a pageant girl. Mm-hmm. And she had me like in a school pageant when I was like in like
Sorrel's eye flaps. I can stand you. Mean?
I the did.
Someone says Natalie called Sorrel's eye flaps.
Yes, he's eye flaps.
My mom wanted me to be a pageant girl and I did like this
tell us more. Is there pictures? I want to
there
know.
Is a picture. My grandma has one and I was miserable. I didn't, you know how pageant girls like they smile and they do the whole thing, and I was like,
no, you were not
off,
trying to
bro.
Smile.
I was like,
I every was picture mad. That Linda has ever sent me mad. Of herself under the age of 18, like stone cold, resting.
I was like, just mad. I already knew that clown world was gonna pop off eventually, and I was just mad at the world, like just mad. But yeah, that didn't work out. I got second place and I was like, you see, this is fucking bananas, mom. I'm not doing this ever again.
And you were a beautiful girl. Yeah. My parents put me in Barbizon, but I was such a disaster.
What is that? What is that?
Oh my God, the modeling school, bro. But here's the thing, but you guys need to understand,
right? Right before
my time in America. Baby Bella
was had a cross-eyed, right? So I had a cocked eye, and then I had to wear an eye patch on the other eye with the glasses, mm-hmm. and then I wore orthopedic shoes, and then my teeth used to hang out up to here, because I had to wear braces for 7 years and a headgear. But girl, when I got headgear, my dear, wrapped around. I got on that Barbizon runway and I started strutting my stuff, I could have sworn that I was just 7'10". No one was going to tell me nothing. I'm Adriana Lima, bitch. No one's telling me shit.
Speaking of modeling school, though, so that's another part of this controversy, because these two have licensing rights over Miss USA, all of a sudden there's modeling schools, Miss Academy. And so now it seems to be a lot of people are alleging that, is this like a, because they're trying to pressure each franchisee. They're not franchisees, but it's kind of like run like that. But the state, they're called state directors. And so every state director is basically like, you know, I head the state, I handle the business for Miss USA, Texas, Nevada, Florida, blah, blah, blah. They're trying to, so it's alleged that they're trying to pressure them into installing these schools in their states. And also that the girls, you know, they get more of an advantage, and they won't even place if they don't go through one of these schools.
So now it becomes an even bigger money machine to take your money and break apart. And you know what the thing is with these schools? That the feminists will actually, they're against the pageants, right? Because the pageants, they're you know, they tell women that they're not great and that they have to be skinny and that they have to be this and that it narrows, you know, women's right. Mm-hmm. Didn't a transgender just win a Miss USA pageant?
I don't know if it was Miss USA, but she did it. Miss Spain a few years ago was a transgender woman.
Was it a Miss Universe that they ended up winning? So it's like they'll criticize, which is something we talked about on the podcast before. They discuss like the damages of like social media and these pageants and the image and the self-perception that it creates in young girls and how they view themselves and how the psychological damage that could be, which is why they push the inclusivity and like, you know, having the really obese people in the CK app and all of these things, because they want body inclusivity so that people feel like they're represented, while at the same time, while they're telling young girls, you are enough, you can gain 300 pounds and you would still be enough, at the same time telling young boys that if they don't feel comfortable in their body, that they are not enough, that there was a mistake, and we will cut off your bits in order to be able to correct that mistake. It's so contradictory to one another to die on both hills simultaneously.
Yeah.
Like, you're a feminist who wants women to feel comfortable and empowered showing up exactly how you are, unless you identify as a transgender. And then in that case, you're not perfect. You're absolutely right. Let's cut off your bits.
You know, there was, by the way, Stevie just said that Miss Nevada is the one who was trans, right?
But
I don't know how to do this, but I want to show them how this girl. Okay, so Kanye got in a fight with some lady from Vogue. Her name was Gabriella, the black lady that he was posting, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I had no idea who she was. I was like, who the hell is Kanye beefing with now? Like, I don't know these people. I'm not a fashion person. Like, I don't know these people at all. Mm-hmm. And then finally somebody posted like, oh, this is the editor of Vogue and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, bro, this is the editor of Vogue? I'm not making fun of her appearance, but just the fashion style was terrible. Like, she literally looked like she walked out of like, I don't even know what, like a costume store. But today she posted this. She just mentioned fat people and this woman. And she goes,
listen up, Jenny Lee, this one's for you.
And she says that, she goes, it's giving, you know, she's talking about her leaving Paris, whatever. And she says, the fat phobia jumped out. Yes, I am fat. And no, I'm not humiliated to show up as my authentic self in the world. Her name is Gabriella K.
Oh, God.
But she went on this whole rant of how fashion houses like Balenciaga and whatnot don't make clothes for fat people like herself. She's not just a big boned woman. You could just tell that she's pretty obese. So, yeah.
She's tearing up the ramen at 3 o'clock in the morning, y'all. She's fatphobia
in Paris Fashion
Week. This one's got a secret recipe for ramen for sure.
But with that being said, guys, we are coming to an end of our live stream, second one. We're just getting used to it. But if you have any questions, we got about 8 minutes. So just type them on the chat.
helpful. Look at Aubrey. Look at Aubrey letting us know. First time listening to you guys, and I think it's great. But I will say this. As a lesbian, it gets old hearing trans issues get mixed in with gay people.
We agree.
We agree.
We agree.
We absolutely agree. Follow Gays Against Groomers. This is exactly what the situation is. This nobody should be fighting harder to have this narrative separated from their collective or their identity than the LGBT community.
Well, it's what happened last week, 2 weeks ago in London, which is that lesbians were being beat up by Antifa because they are the real feminists who were protesting for women rights. Once again, full circle, women rights. And they're not allowed to have a platform. Lesbians are not allowed to speak for themselves anymore because the transgender movement is above all of us.
Yeah.
So we understand your frustration.
This is an interesting question because of the history. Actually, Stevie's asking, what are your thoughts on Myra Flores' interaction with Paola Ramos? Should Myra have given her the time? So Stevie, actually, the first episode of Mostly Peaceful Latina was actually recorded on an interview that I had with Paola Ramos for the same series that Myra was a part of. Unfortunately, they wanted really bad to paint me as a cutard. And because I didn't give it to them, my piece didn't make the documentary. But no, I don't think it's bad. I will tell you one thing about my interaction with Paola when I was interviewed. And it's that I'm sure that she has heard this echoed now across all the states that she's going to, because she's going through several states. And the series that she's working on is basically documenting the mass exodus of Latinos leaving the Democratic Party for the Republican Party. And you know, however it is that it ends up on the, you know, when you go through editing and how it is that they mix up the message, I will tell you this. I know what she's hearing because she heard it from us and she heard it from every person that she interviewed down here in Miami, which is our party left us behind. We left the party because of the lies of the media and the party. That's why it wasn't anything that Republicans necessarily did to attract us. It was what the Democrats did. It's what the media helped them do. That when you wake up from that, you realize like, like I'm not represented by this anymore. And to answer your question, which is how do I feel about her doing the interview? I think that we need to show up in these places. I think that we need to show up in front of Democrats. We need to be on CNNBC and on CNN. And it doesn't matter how they try and paint us. It's an opportunity for us to be able to still get a message out there that they spend 9 times out of 10 trying to censor.
I've been on Vice before. I did Vice very early when I first started the channel in 2019, I think. And you know, was supposed to be or was a conversation between conservatives and liberals and ended up being a debate. That's not how they sold it to me, but whatever. Nevertheless, it's actually helped me out a lot, not just by the views and getting followers, but also so many people that related to my message that hadn't heard the message the way that I portrayed it or the way that I spoke and said, you know what? I never really saw it that way. And I agree with her. And it's happening here too. There's a lot. There's been a lot of people that said, you know, we had a follower that said, you know, I red-pilled my cousin through your channel. So have a lot of media, because we don't, Fox is not real media.
It's important that I mention this. Your Vice episode was something that I came across in my own journey of waking up. Because I remember specifically seeking out, like I wanted to fight this narrative that it's like Republicans were racist and Donald Trump was a racist and he hated the Latinos and he hated everything.
Right.
So I specifically went out and I started to seek out like Latinas, people in the LGBT community that were speaking positively of conservatism and of Donald Trump. And it was that Vice episode, because Vice was something that I felt comfortable reading, that I come across this video and I see Linda and I see her having this debate with these Democrat individuals and she comes off so articulate and articulating her points. And it's like, wait a
minute. And everybody else is literally insane.
Correct. And it becomes, when you see this live debate uncensored, which is something that I will give Paola Ramos credit for. Paola Ramos, to some degree, really is trying to create an authentic journalism career for herself, which means that, yes, she might be scared of the conservative boogeyman, but she still wants to document it as opposed to censoring it. And I can appreciate from a journalistic standpoint that she wants to hear those opinions and show people like, Latinos really are leaving the Republican Party, leaving to the Republican Party in mass numbers. And this is something that we need to recognize.
I don't know. I still wish you wouldn't included your interview.
One thing that I have to say.
They didn't want me talking about that laptop.
a recent poll came out on Latino voters, and it turns out that the culture wars that they don't want us to engage in, the LGBT stuff. Again, we're not, you know, hating on, you know, lesbians and gays, but the whole school situation that we're dealing with is a very big deal with Latino voters, and it's actually engaging them, and it's actually driving them to the polls. Why is that? Because Latinos are traditionally conservative, culturally conservative people. Right. So now they're seeing, holy crap, there's a teacher that's teaching my third grader, my fifth grader about transgenderism and pronouns and, you know, butt sex. And here's a book for kids that's actually pornography, which none of us saw when we were growing up. Mm-hmm. So these types of conversations we need to have these conversations. We want to approach the faith-based communities as well. But we'll leave that topic for another day. Also, I saw our friend here, Ali Drummond. I don't want to mess up her last name. Real Femme Sapien. She has an amazing channel. She's really
breaking the real trad wifey.
Real trad wifey. She's really breaking the echo chamber and trying to save feminists from and a terrible downfall of just, you know, what they've been doing for the last 50 years. So shout out to her.
We had an episode with her. You can catch our episode, there and subscribe to her channel. She's got amazing stuff.
Amazing.
And really a representation for just, you know, conservative women. We need to be louder and we need to be shown that, you know, we exist. Mm-hmm. We're really out here. And we're actually hella proud of being conservative women.
Check out my jacket. I'm not selling it, but I just think you guys are going to like it.
No, you got to get off of the chair so you can actually see it. Let me see if they can see it. There's a little bit of a delay.
You can see it.
No, yeah, they can see it. Okay. They can see a whole lot, Linda, actually.
I'm sorry. It says,
Linda, they can see a whole lot, Linda. It
says, bring on the war, the spiritual war. But anyways, guys, please help us out and hit that subscribe button, share our content, and we will see you next week.
See you guys next week. And thank you, Natalie, for coming in.
Thank you.
Bye.